All right, well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter number, or Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. And I very much appreciated the program tonight. I was standing in the back hallway, and I'll be honest, I was a little jealous of some of their costumes because I remember what my costumes looked like when I was in the Great American Day program. We had to come down the aisle. It was the walk of shame. So here's me. And my mom was great at a lot of things, but costumes weren't her thing. And this particular year, I decided I wanted to be Jim Elliot. He was a missionary to the Aka Indians, and he dropped gifts from an airplane. So I'm holding an airplane with a little gift, walking down the aisle. You can't really tell on this picture, but my face is beginning to turn red because I can still remember the laughter as I walked down the aisle. And I saw someone in the back who was an astronaut. I don't know if they're Neil Armstrong or who they were. But I tried that the next year. I'm like, I'm never going to be a missionary again. I'm going to be something cool. And so the next year I was Neil Armstrong. And my mom, I remember she picked me up from school one day and she said, she goes, Larry, I found you an astronaut's costume. And I'm thinking like what I saw in the back hallway a second ago. It was legit. I think it was real. But when I went home and I saw my astronaut's costume, it was snow bibs, and that's what it was. And it was modified into an astronaut, and again, the walk of shame down the middle aisle. So great program tonight. They did a great job, and it's awesome to hear them sing that. My daughter's, especially Layton, she's about to be 4 years old, and we're trying to teach her how to be thankful and how to show gratitude and express thanks. And so sometimes when someone does something nice for her, gives her something, or pays her a compliment, we instruct her and prompt her, like, Layton, what do you say? And she'll say, you know, sometimes it takes one or two times, but eventually she'll say, thank you. So we're trying to get her to say thank you and prompt her to say thank you. And tonight is one of these nights where we're going to talk about thankfulness, but this isn't just our yearly prompt to say thank you. Okay, what we're going to study in this passage tonight is deeper than that, and it should go with us year-round. And it's not just a prompt, church family, to say thank you. This is something that really can't, true gratitude is not something that's prompted. It's something that's within the heart and expressed. And so that's what we're going to see tonight. If you found your place in Luke chapter number 17, if you wouldn't mind standing with me just one more time, and we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Luke 17 and verse number 11. We're going to read a familiar, this is somewhat of a holiday classic when you think of Thanksgiving. And so we'll come to this passage tonight, and hopefully the Lord will give us a fresh perspective on some things as we read them tonight. But verse number 11 says, and it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Help us now as we make application from the truths found within this text. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this upcoming Thursday, we as Americans will celebrate Thanksgiving. We'll enjoy football and turkey, and maybe some of you board games will be around as a family. Maybe we'll share some memories. Then we'll go back and have some more turkey, go watch some more football, and that's kind of how our days goes. But if maybe you'll take some time this week, and maybe you'll sit down in front of the computer or write some things out that you're thankful for, or post something on social media, just reflecting on how grateful we are for the things that we have. And then just a few hours later, Black Friday begins. And we head on out, and those who are just expressing gratitude for all they have are now going to try to kill each other to try to go and get more. And it's become a holiday tradition of mine to sit back. I don't participate in Black Friday. There's some movements that say opt outside and, you know, don't go to the store, go hiking. I opt inside. I just stay home and try to eat some more turkey is what I do on the day after Thanksgiving. But one of the things that I do on the evening after Thanksgiving is I'll open my phone, this is my holiday tradition, and I'll start to read some of the stories of how Americans behaved that day. And it's usually quite shameful. Here's one of my favorite headlines from last year. It says, Black Friday shopper rips vegetable steamer from kids' hands. And I just think, what is wrong with our country? So many things wrong in this statement. First of all, why does any kid in America want a vegetable steamer? And why is an adult trying to rip it out of their hands? And that's the problem with Black Friday, all the deals. You buy stuff like you don't even need to just try to get the deal. And we look, and I like sitting back and observing the aftermath of this cultural phenomenon of Black Friday. But what we're going to talk tonight about is the aftermath of something much greater than anything that we can experience culturally, and that is the grace of God. The aftermath of the grace of God. And tonight in this passage, we're going to observe this force of God's grace in 10 individuals' lives. And they experienced the same grace, and by the way, it's the same grace that we experience. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter number 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So it's the same grace, but the response is not the same from each individual. The aftermath is different. So the question as we begin tonight is, what does your heart look like after experiencing the grace of God? What does your heart look like after experiencing the grace of God? This account that we read just a moment ago is mentioned only in the book of Luke. And this is Jesus' last time to depart through this region of the country. And he departs from Galilee and he approaches this city. It's an unnamed city. But he's met there by a group of diseased individuals known as lepers. Now, leprosy, although rare and easily treatable today, in biblical times was a terribly dreaded disease. No illness in Scripture was more repulsive than that of leprosy. It was visually disturbing. When someone got leprosy, their face would begin to deform. Their extremities would begin to wear off and grow numb. It attacked the nervous system, and so they wouldn't feel things properly. These individuals who had leprosy, they would begin to lose limbs. They would often lose their vision. Their eyesight would go. It was a terrible, terrible disease. And among a lot of things, it was just really rather disgusting to look upon an individual with leprosy who had this scaly, inflamed skin all the time. And so these individuals, these lepers, they meet Jesus, and it was visually disturbing. Because leprosy was contagious, it was a slow-moving, chronic bacterial infection. The lepers would experience some terrible things, but one of the worst things about leprosy is that they would be removed from their homes, from their families, from their friends. They couldn't be a part of functioning society any longer, and they would live together. And this, by the way, still occurs in some third-world countries. There are leper colonies still today in areas like the Philippines. It's a terribly debilitating disease. But leprosy also carried this spiritual stigma, because those who practiced, especially the Jewish religion, would look at those with leprosies as though God had inflicted them with this particular disease because of something that they did bad. And so because of this, everyone steered far away, far clear from those with leprosy. And it's not hard to imagine like the terrible existence that they had. And here they were on the outskirts of the city, not connected with society, not connecting with their family, not functioning in any way. Everything was just, it was just another day to try to survive until Jesus enters the picture. And that's the first thing we see if you're taking note, is that Jesus entered into their hopeless situation. You see, it was just another day, so they would think, until Jesus came and he passed through. And it says, there met him 10 men that were lepers. What's amazing in our study tonight is not that 10 lepers met Jesus, but that Jesus came to meet these 10 lepers. And Jesus was very intentional. I think we had a map up on the screen a moment ago, that as he passed through the middle of Samaria, and you find this again in John earlier in John chapter number 4, is that Jesus, everywhere he went was with intentionality, and he comes through this area with intention. And so this is not just a meeting by chance, but Jesus very intentionally came to these lepers, those who were sick and in need of healing and in need of forgiveness of their sins, and he comes straight through their region and straight to them. And right away, we see two things about this particular group of people. First of all, they were distant. The verse we read, verse number 12 a moment ago, says they stood afar off. Everybody say, afar off. All right, we're going to see this again in another verse. And so they stood afar off because legally they knew they were supposed to. They were supposed to keep their distance because they were considered contagious. When they would walk through crowds of people, you've heard the story, they would yell out unclean. And so they stood afar off. They were outcasts in an outcast society. Life was miserable for them, and they couldn't escape this reality. So they were distant. But the second thing we see about these individuals is that they were desperate. Verse number 13 says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Master, have mercy on us.'" So they're speaking together in unison. And another thing about leprosy is that it would attack over time your vocal cords. You couldn't speak as loudly as you want to. The vocal cords would become damaged and your voice would become raspy. And so I imagine these 10 lepers shouting out as best they can in unison in something that sounds very eerie, this cry for help, "Lord, have mercy on us." And the message of the cry was, "Master, have mercy on us." You see, these men understood who they were. They understood that they were rejected by society. And they understood that they didn't deserve anything because of their illness. They weren't owed anything. I think it's a good place to pause here tonight on the eve of Thanksgiving and say that often the enemy of thankfulness and gratitude is entitlement. Entitlement. And these individuals, they said, "Lord, just have mercy on us." They didn't try to prove their case or say why they deserved anything. And I don't even know if they thought they knew what they were going to get in return. Maybe something to eat, maybe a warm article of clothing, but just, "Lord, have mercy on us. Master, have mercy on us." The enemy of thankfulness is entitlement. There was a Thanksgiving episode of The Simpsons, and in this episode, Bart Simpson bows his head to pray, and he says, "God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so I guess thanks for nothing." And we may not say that, but sometimes we go through life that way, this attitude of entitlement, like, "I deserve this, or I earned this, and this is mine, and I work for this, and I can see the check, and when I got it, and when I paid for it." And this attitude of entitlement could have been prevalent amongst these lepers, but yet they cried out for mercy. And so here they are, they're outsiders, and I think this is a good place to stop and understand where we fit into this story, because we're the lepers. We're outsiders. The Bible tells us, but because of our sin, and sometimes we can look at society and we can see the deprivation of society and how society has continually downgraded and done things that, like, society should never do. But as disgusting as that is to us as Christians, you got to understand that our sin is equally as disgusting to God. And so here we are. We're in this story. We're the lepers. We were distant from God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off." There's those words we said a moment ago. You see, the same words used to describe the lepers is how we were described in Ephesians chapter number 2. We were far off. We couldn't get close to God because of our sin. Our righteousness was as filthy, bloody rags. And so we were far off. We were distant. Colossians 2 says that we were dead in our sins. One of the things about leprosy that was so repulsive to that society was because it was like death hanging off of you. The cells had died, extremities would die, and it was like someone walking dead. And that's one of the things that disgusted, especially the Jews who wanted nothing to do with death, and this was so disgusting to them. And so we're described in Colossians chapter 2 as being dead in our sins. But Jesus came to us. And can I tell you, this truth is the foundation of our gratitude. Understanding that in this life, apart from Jesus, we have nothing. Everything that we receive in life, every good gift is because of Him. If you're searching for motivation behind your gratitude, start with the fact that Jesus came to meet your need. We can't ever get over that fact. I saw the story last year of a man who was rescued by Prince William. Prince William was trained as a pilot in the Royal Air Force over there, and he volunteered to help with this air ambulance flying this helicopter. And this man was rescued by Prince William and didn't even know it until the next day. And the headlines the next day read that Wills saved my life. And it was great that his life was saved, but it was especially incredible to him that the heir to the throne had been the one to save his life. And when we come to this passage and we place ourselves in this passage, we have to understand that Jesus came for us. And that is the foundation of our gratitude. And when you read of gratefulness, and Paul uses the words to describe this unspeakable gift, he always connects it back to Jesus, because without Jesus, we have nothing. He is the foundation of our gratefulness, the fact that he came for us. Listen, you might have a nice house or a nice car. You may have done well, but apart from Jesus, we're outcasts. We have nothing. You may have done well for yourself, or so it seems, but yet that's not good enough. And it's not impressive to God. And apart from Jesus, we have nothings. And so Jesus, he enters this hopeless situation. But then what we see next is that the lepers experience his undeserved grace. These lepers experience his undeserved grace. Look at verse number 14. It says, "And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.'" So this is a bit unusual, because Jesus sees this leper. It wasn't the first leper that he came in contact with. You can read in Luke chapter number 5 about another interaction he had with that leper. That man, he comes up to him and he touches him and he heals that leper. But for these 10 individuals, Jesus hears them, and his response to them was a little bit unusual, because he said to them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." So he acknowledges these lepers, but doesn't really offer any sort of support there, just kind of deflects them to go to the priest. So what's Jesus doing here? Well, what he's doing is he's giving these men an opportunity to express faith. He's giving them an opportunity to express faith by telling them to go to the priest. You see, Leviticus chapter number 14 outlines what is to happen if someone experiences a cure for their leprosy. Sometimes leprosy would go into remission. And so what was debilitating one time can go into remission. But if that were to happen, there's only one person you could go to, and that was the high priest. And there was set in order by the law of Moses things that they were supposed to do. There's sacrifice that was supposed to be made, a period of observation to make sure that the leprosy was clear. And so Jesus sends them on their way as if they were already healed, even though they hadn't experienced healing. And what he's doing is he's giving them an opportunity to exercise faith. And I don't know what's the conversations that's going through these men's mind. My guess is that they probably said amongst themselves, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Like, literally, they had no life. They had nothing going for them. So I don't know if their hearts were there, if the faith was there yet, but just as they cried out in unison, now they're going to move in unison. They move together, and Jesus sends them away, and he sends them to the priest. And here's what's ironic. The same priest that would have rejected the deity of Christ, that would have rejected Jesus as the Messiah, now has to validate the miracle he performed. That's pretty interesting to me, and that's kind of cool that Jesus sends them to the priest who would have rejected him. And now that priest is going to validate the fact that Jesus actually healed them. And so he puts them in motion, and he says, "Listen, I want you to go to the priest." And it's kind of like sometimes I'll see my doctor, and my doctor will say, you know, I'll have an appointment, and he'll say, "You need to get some blood work done. So you can go ahead and head down there. I'll go ahead right now. I'm going to put the labs in. By the time you get there, it's going to be good." Or maybe you've had a doctor that tells you before, "You need this prescription. Go ahead and head to the pharmacy. By the time that you get there, it'll be there, and you can pull your prescription." And this is a little bit what Jesus is doing. He's like, "Go ahead and go on the way. Go to see the priest, and I'm going to put the order in." And so they act together. They act in unison. They move in unison. They move together, and they were healed. They moved together and they were healed. And this is really interesting how this happens. We continue reading verse number 14. It says, "And they came to pass that As they went, they were cleansed." So as they went, they were cleansed. I wish somebody would have recorded that, because that would have made a great Instagram story just to watch this unfold. Like, here they are. They're like, "You know what? We got nothing to lose. We're going to move together." And maybe they relied on each other. Maybe some of them were missing limbs, and they're walking together, and it's painful and it hurts, and they're walking. And one of them looks up and is like, "Bro, you got a nose." It's like, "No, I don't. I got a nose." And they're standing there in the midst, and they knew each other, and they'd been with each other, and they'd suffered and cried out together. And now, in their action, Christ made them whole. And he sent them in their way, and then he honored their obedience and their faith and healed them. One commentator said, "Observe, then, we may expect God to meet us with mercy when we are found in the way of duty." You know, if you have a prayer request tonight, you're like, "God, I need help with this. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my job situation, my family situation. Listen, you be faithful with what God has given you to do or entrusted you to do. Keep serving him. And a lot of times what he does is he meets you along the way. And a lot of times what we see in scripture is before, God won't always outline every step along the way, but he'll give you one step at a time. And that's what the life of faith is. And I'm going to lead you one step at a time. And when you go that step, I'll show you the next step. And here these men go, and they're healed as they went. They're healed in the way. So Jesus, he entered their hopeless situation. The lepers experienced his undeserved grace because in the middle of their movement, they're healed. They didn't deserve it. They weren't entitled to it. But God's grace and God's love was bestowing this upon them, and they're healed. I don't know how far away they were from Jesus, how far out of their sight or how far out of the city. They had quite a bit of ways to travel. But somewhere along the way, they were healed. They're healed. And so we see the final part of our story, which is why we're talking about tonight, the week of Thanksgiving, is this thought. That only one returned to express thanks. Only one returned to express thanks. The unfortunate portion of this passage is that this passage mirrors what happens today. And that is that gratitude and thankfulness are still the exception. It's the rarity. It's still the one time out of ten rather than the nine times out of ten. And so this man, he's walking along, and something happened in verse number 15. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed. So there's one of these men that's walking along. Here's what happened is he recognized who Jesus was. You see, all of them recognized that they had been healed. I like to think it all happened at the same time, and they maybe had a conversation. Maybe some of them ran for the first time when they hadn't ran in years, and they come, and they all recognized that they had been healed. And so it wasn't just that this guy recognized that he had been healed, but what we see here is this individual is beginning to connect the dots. He's beginning to connect his healing with a person, the person of Jesus. And so he's there, and when one of them saw that he was healed, And it wasn't, again, that he just recognized that he was healed. Here's what he does next. He returned to thank and worship Jesus. He knows he's got two people to thank. And in this passage, we read that he glorifies God, and then he comes to Jesus, and he falls down on his face like they would only do to a king in that day. And so he's got two people to thank, Jesus and God. And what I think he's discovering in this moment is that it's the same person. And he comes to Jesus, and he's thanking Jesus, and he's worshiping God. And it says that he turned back, and with a loud voice, if you look at that in the Greek, literally it's like phone mega, like megaphone. And so with a loud voice, like a megaphone. See, I like to think that he just for him to talk because of his leprosy probably took a lot of effort. So now here he is. He's just learning how to talk again, and he gives glory to God. With a loud voice, he expresses it. And listen, there's a difference between feeling thankful and feeling grateful and expressing and giving that thanksgiving, not just because he felt that, because I really believe that the nine other individuals felt the same way. But this man comes to Jesus with a loud voice, and he worships him, and he falls down at his feet and gives him faith, thanks. And the Bible tells us this, and he was a Samaritan. This is interesting because of all the individuals who Jesus healed that should have known better. Like, this Samaritan was outside the covenants. John chapter number 4 tells us that for salvation is of the Jews. And so if a Samaritan would not have connected all the dots, you may have understood a bit. And here were the Jewish individuals who knew about Jesus, who knew the prophecy, and yet they were not the ones that returned to say thank you. And I think what we find here of the Jews is what we find of these nine is representative of how Israel was at the time. You see, they wanted a Messiah and a Jesus who would work for them. I'm sure they loved and appreciated the healing, much like they really wanted a kingdom and they wanted the Roman rule to be gone. And they wanted a lot of things for Jesus, but they wouldn't really do much for him. And I think it's maybe like a lot of Christians who they want God's blessings. And they'll make room for God's blessings, but they don't make room to worship him. They make room for, and they can dream big of like, how can God bless my family? And, you know, if this progressive with my career, how are things going to look a few years from now? And God, would you help this to happen? But then we never stop to think, like, what could I do for God? And here were these individuals. No doubt they loved their bodies that were made whole. I'm sure that maybe some of them were appreciative of that, but none come back to thank him. It's this one-sided welfare relationship. And the story isn't over yet. You see, nationally, we sing about how God shed his grace on us. But what is the aftermath of that grace? What do we have to show for that today? And that's why we come tonight and we sing about some of the good things historically even about our country. But where are we today? We need to pray for our country. I think one of the things that has deteriorated our country and our churches and Christian individual lives has been unthankfulness, an unthankful heart. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that this is a sign of perilous time. The last times is unthankful. And so nothing has deteriorated our country and will deteriorate our souls like unthankfulness. And this ingratitude did not go unnoticed, because this man comes to Jesus, he worships him, he bows down to him, he gives glory to God, but Jesus has a few questions. And he asks three questions, just one right after another. And here's what he says in verse number 17. It says, "And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed?" Meaning, Jesus knew how he had blessed the individuals, and Jesus knows how he blesses us. But weren't there 10? And then he says, "There are not, but where are the 9? And then he says, "There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And so what Jesus is saying is like, this is great that there's this individual, and he's going to address this as an individual in a second, but he pauses to let us know that he recognized the 9 who are ungrateful. And when our hearts are filled with ingratitude, maybe because we're busy or we haven't thought or we haven't expressed it, I believe that our Savior recognizes it and realizes it. And they may have felt grateful, but they didn't express it. Did you know that God doesn't need our thanks? It's not about feeding his ego. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 17, verse number 25, "Neither is worshipped with men's hand as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Not like he needed anything from us. Do you realize that gratitude, thanksgiving, thankfulness is for our benefit, not his? It's the whole reason we were created, to bring God glory. And see, this individual comes back to God, thanks God, gives God glory, and God's glorified. He fulfills his purpose for which he was created. The 9 other lepers, they would go back to the temples. They go to the same temples and worship in the same places. This Samaritan, however, he would have been forbidden from entering into the inner courts of the temple. He could not have gotten any closer to the presence of God at that time and that day than the outer courts. But here he is now, worshiping at the feet of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And that special blessing that he received to be there with Jesus, to be worshiping him in the flesh, was a blessing and a benefit because of his gratitude. And here's what happens next. Look at verse number 19. We see that he received salvation. Listen, a lot of times what Jesus does and what the Bible does is it uses a physical need to illustrate a physical need. And so, yes, this man physically had some bad things going on, but spiritually his needs were far worse. And here he is, as I said a moment ago, he's healed. He's connecting the dots. He's understanding that, listen, this person that healed me possesses power and claims to be things that, and he's putting the dots together. And he comes back with a heart of faith and with a heart of gratitude. And here's what Jesus says to him. And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole." You see, he'd been made whole physically now, but now that word whole is sozo. It means you're saved. It's the word from which we get salvation. So this was not that just he was healed of his leprosy. That had already happened, but now he's made whole. Now he's made whole not just because of his gratitude. Gratitude doesn't save us. We're still saved by grace. But that gratitude was an indicator of the grace that was real and working in his heart. And when your faith is alive and working and real, it's connected to gratitude. The Bible tells us to enter his courts with thanksgiving. You see, God connects gratitude and our thanksgiving. It's a matter of worship. And so this individual comes, and Jesus says in him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made me whole." The Bible says, "I will bless thee, O Lord, at all times. His praise shall continually be in thy mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The aftermath of God's grace. God's been so good to us individually. God's been so good to us as a church family. We even saw in the program tonight that God has been so good to us as a nation. But what do we do with that? We recognize it. Yeah, everyone recognizes it. But are you expressing gratitude? Are you making room for God? Are you allowing him to change you? Are you content with this idea of a God that does stuff for you, but we in return don't have to do anything for him? And that doesn't go unnoticed. 10 people experienced the same grace that has appeared to each and every one of us, but the response wasn't the same. How does your heart respond to the grace that God's given to you? And I realize you might be going through a tough time. One individual said, nothing tires a man more than to be thankful all the time. But I really believe this is why over 140 times in Scripture we're commanded to give thanks. And our gratitude is connected to our worship. And our gratitude is connected to our Christian growth. Listen, you can't be growing actively, vibrantly in your Christian walk without gratitude. If it's not there, chances are the growth isn't there either. What we see in this man was, again, his faith, his gratitude and thankfulness did not save him, but it was sure evidence of what was happening on the inside, that this man was recognizing who God was. And if you are going through a tough time, you're like, man, I lost my job, this relationship's going downhill, all these things are difficult, understand that if it weren't for Jesus, we don't have anything. And because of Jesus, we have everything. Amen. We have everything that we need. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.